Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the reading, especially listen again, Acts 7:57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. These are your words, O Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? This question from the Lutheran Worship Confirmation Order comes immediately after the Confession of the Apostles' Creed and is addressed to those who have just completed their catechesis. Do you remember being asked that question? Perhaps it was one that took you by surprise. Were you even ready for it? Or if you were, how seriously did you consider it? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Death? This business about being a Christian might be more difficult than I thought. Being a Christian is easy, right? After all, Jesus has done everything for us. Some people may enter into the catechesis process thinking that a few weeks of Bible study and doctrinal review will do the trick. Then they can join the congregation, be a part of the fellowship, take part in the activities and the suppers, join some groups, make some friends. But if that's how they entered into the process, sooner or later, they will find out that's not what being a Christian is all about. Being a Christian always involves death. When a person joins a congregation and becomes a member of the Holy Christian Church, the same body of believers, the body of Christ that Stephen, the first martyr, belonged to, they are squarely placed in the line of fire of distinct and powerful enemies, the devil, the unbelieving world, and our own sinful flesh all do battle in the lives of the believers of Christ every day. It has been this way since the very beginning of the Christian church, and it will be this way until Christ returns. Certainly, Stephen saw the worst possible kind of persecution any Christian will ever face. Luke describes Stephen as a man full of faith and power who did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, he had been brought before the Sanhedrin on charges of attacking the temple, the law, Moses, and ultimately, God. But God made Stephen ready for his strong confession of faith. We read that these men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. His confession of faith was based solely on the word of the prophets, beginning with Abraham and the patriarchs, and ending with those piercing words, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Then, the appointed text reads, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed at him with their teeth. Now, how about that for a way to get people to join the church? We live in an age when many are trying to make Christianity just one of the various paths of truth. People are careful not to offend their hearers with words of law or sin, but rather rejoice in the diversity in our midst. Not so Stephen. Instead, he assured them that they were headed straight to hell. Then when Stephen declared, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, the whole assembly cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. People would not listen to any more of this. They covered their ears and yelled so as to keep themselves pure from this false doctrine that Stephen was able to see the crucified Son of God, who is now risen and glorified and one with the Father? But why wouldn't they listen? Why didn't they believe the message of Stephen regarding the gift of life and salvation free in God's own Son? Why didn't they rejoice at the news that Stephen knew, the news that he wanted everyone else to realize, to believe, and confess with him? Why didn't they believe? Because they couldn't. And neither can you, apart from God's Spirit. You see, they and we are by nature enemies of God. We cannot believe the good news about Jesus Christ any easier than anyone else. We are not somehow better than those who stoned Stephen. We too find ourselves stopping up our ears instead of listening to God's clear word. We have tried to shout down the voice of God's word, showing us our sins. With great fervor, we can rationalize that we're better than most people. After all, at least we know we're sinful. In fact, we can be pretty good at being sinful if the requirements of the circumstances around us show. Besides, if we take a hard stand against people living together without being married, or take a position in favor and supportive of the children living in their mother's womb, or mentioning to someone that they're gossiping or cursing, people might not like that. They might even ridicule us. They might even persecute us. Or worse. Being a Christian always involves death. Our confession of faith might not and probably won't result in the death of a martyr, as did Stephen's. But being Christ's own people means we have died. We have died with Christ. That's what we confess in our baptism, that we're united with him in his death, with our sins. In our baptism, we are his crucified and redeemed own people. When Stephen was about to die, Kneeling before the fury of the mob around him, he was able to see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And as the fatal stone met its mark, he was able to confidently say, "Lord, receive my spirit." And then he said, "Lord, do not charge this sin against them." Those words sound a lot like the words of Jesus on Calvary, don't they? Some have said that Stephen was privileged to die just like Jesus did. That certainly is not the case. Look closer. Stephen died as a sinner who was forgiven. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, died, bearing God's curse and damnation for the world's sins. Stephen died, wrongly condemned by wicked men. Jesus died, justly condemned by the righteous and holy God for the sins of all people. Stephen died with confidence and saw that heaven was open for him for Jesus' sake. Jesus died alone, forsaken even by the Heavenly Father. Being a Christian always involves death. This death is Christ's death in our place. And being a Christian always involves life. And what Stephen, the apostles, and all the baptized since have believed and confessed is that Jesus Christ also rose from the dead. And because he lives, we too will live with a glorious and risen body. During this time on earth, as a member of the body of Christ, already bearing the marks of the redeemed in our baptism, we live for a season on this earth, believing and confessing these wonderful truths of the gospel of forgiveness and life in Christ. And Jesus Christ himself gives you opportunities in various ways, in various places, to share it. Not everyone will receive it with thanksgiving and joy, though many will be just like you and me and will answer that confirmation day question: do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And by the grace of God the Holy Spirit, we can say, "I do so intend with the help of God." The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.